Acts chapter number 20, stand with me if you would. I'm going to begin reading here, verse number 18. Acts 20 and verse number 18 tonight. The Bible says, of course, it's talking here about Paul in verse 17. He talks about from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, this is Paul. He is calling for those elders, those pastors of the churches round about the area. And it says in verse 18, when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, and not knowing the things which that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Tonight, just a very simple thought, a simple message, just given the title of What is a Great Christian? What is a great Christian tonight? I want us to think about this. I want us to think about the ministry that the Lord has given to us. One of many that we're looking at starting here. But the ministries that the Lord has given us at Coastalite Baptist Church. And am I a participant? And am I an engaged member of that ministry? And would I be ever considered a great Christian? Now, we're not looking to pat ourselves on the back. I'm not looking for those who want to have the glowing report of mankind. But I believe that we can look throughout history and we can see some individuals who we would say are great Christians. I want to recount some of those to you tonight. And then I want us to see what is a great Christian. Let's bow in a word of prayer. We'll begin here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, please, would you help us tonight? Lord, with this video about the bus ministry. Oh, dear Lord, as I even again sat in my office, watched it this afternoon. Lord, the heart that you have given to this pastor to see such a ministry begun. And Lord, to see the long-lasting effects that it will have over the many, many years, Lord, that I pray that you will give to this church of such a ministry. Lord, a growing ministry for a growing church. Lord, a ministry that is on fire for a church that has that same fire and the same zeal. Lord, I pray tonight as you help us to look at what a great Christian is, Lord, I pray that we would see that we could apply these same teachings, Lord, to what is a great ministry. Lord, I pray you would help us to be such a ministry, Lord, for this city, for this area. For I ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'll have you be seated tonight. We think about, through the course of time, we think about great men. We think about great women. We think about those who would be considered great Christians. You might think about missionaries, and certain missionaries might come to your mind, and I'll not name them their way. Well, far, far too many to be named. There are many men and families that have given their lives on the foreign mission field. There are dear ladies that have given their lives on a mission field to help with children or to help with a ministry. And we think about those people. We think about those in the Bible. I think about Paul as he's speaking here and as he's bringing a message to us out of the book of Acts, and all that he means to the child of God, all that he means to the student of the Bible. I think about Timothy, the young man that he was able to train, others that he was able to see brought up in the Christian faith and set on fire, and those that went into the ministry. We watched this here, this video tonight, and I know Brother Mrs. Schwerin know more, many more than I do. They spent several years there, and one of the dear ladies I know, Mike said, he said real quietly, now she's a pastor. master's wife. Didn't even say anything about that. There was one young man there and one young lady, Lady April. She married Reyes's son, Nathan Reyes. And I was fortunate enough to go down to the church that her dad, I believe her dad, started and teach preach to the young people. Why? Because there was a heart's desire to see something perpetuate beyond themselves. Amen? Well, I feel you're asleep tonight. You worry me, to be honest, right now this evening. I'm afraid that I've brought maybe a little bit more than you can handle tonight, thinking about a bus ministry, thinking about the years that people have served in it. Oh, please don't burden my heart with it tonight. I need you to be in this. I need you to see what God can do. I need you to have some excitement and some fire and some zeal for what the Lord can do long term at our church. Amen? No, not no, amen. Come on, amen. I mean that, folks. Oh, the Lord can do so much here. We think about great Christians. I think about Billy Sunday and the years that he spent preaching all across from corner to corner of these United States and those that came to Christ through his ministry. I think of D.L. Moody long before that. R.A. Torrey, those that have written many books that we read about. Read about prayer and read about the Lord's work. I think about John R. Rice, men like Jack Hiles, J. Frank Norris, George Mueller, Hudson Taylor, and the list is endless, honestly. On and on and on we could go. Great men, great leaders, great Christians, to be honest. Great Christians. Did they have their problems? Every one of them. Every one of them. Oh, I'm sure that you could have picked a name out there and said, well, I know a little bit of information about that man, and he wasn't as great as maybe what you think. Oh, I tell you what, the Lord can take anyone, regardless of any problems that we may ever have, and God can use it to His glory. These are great individuals. But what is it that made them great Christians? What is it that made them great for the Lord? What is it that can cause us to be great for the Lord? I want you to think, number one, faithful consistency. What is it that goes into the recipe for a great child of God, a great individual? We're not looking for man to call us great. I couldn't care less whether you ever call me great or not, but I promise you this, I do care whether God calls me great. That I care about. That I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear that from my Lord. I'll be grateful to hear that from my Lord one day. And I don't think that I'm going beyond what I should and have a desire that I shouldn't have, wanting to see God pleased with my life and pleased with my faithful consistency. We go there to verse number 18 of John, or Acts 20. And verse 18 it says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Faithful consistency. Here we read about a man that was faithful. We see about read about a man who was consistent. We read about a man who was predictable. You know that word predictable? Consistent. Faithful. Always there. Never missing. Always in their place. Never having to wonder, where is so-and-so? Where is such-and-such? Why are they not here? Just that faithful, faithful consistency. Now listen, as our heart is moved toward beginning a ministry, and I promise you this, it's going to be a ministry that will have long-reaching effects from our church. But it's going to be a ministry that's going to be born out of real, genuine tear, heartfelt conviction, and a desire to see something happen for those who we can reach. Amen. But we must be faithful. There's got to be faithful consistency, predictability. It just you just know how that consistent Christian is going to act. You never have to worry. You never have to wonder. You know at all turns. You know at every heartache, at every avenue, you know they're going to be a faithful, consistent child of God. That's what goes into making a great individual, a great man, or a great woman, or a great family. Faithful consistency. Those who will follow suit to what the Lord has taught. Those who will be faithful as the sunrise is faithful. I don't have to wonder if the sun's going to come up tomorrow. It's faithful. And I want the Lord to be able to see that He doesn't have to wonder whether I'm going to come up tomorrow. I want the Lord to see someone who is faithful. I'm not looking for you or him or her to call me great, but I am looking for the Lord to call me great. I don't believe I have to apologize for that. I want the Lord to see in me a man that has a desire to serve Him, to be faithful, to be consistent, to always do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Go over to 2 Timothy. Hold your hand here. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. In 2 Timothy 3, look at verse number 10 and 11. Verse number 10 here says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Oh, it goes on. And in verse number 14 it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Oh, there is a consistent man. He is teaching consistency in his life. He is teaching consistency in his preaching. He is teaching consistency in his walk. He is teaching consistency at every possible avenue. That's what we need. That's what we've got to have. Faithful consistency. What is a great man? What is a great woman? What is a great child of God? The first thing is they're faithful and they are consistent. Never have to worry about whether they'll be doing what they're supposed to do. Never have to worry about whether they're holding down the job that they were given, that they took upon themselves. Faithful and consistent. The second thing I believe we can see, go back to Acts chapter number 20 and look at verse number 19. Acts 20 verse number 19. It says here, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. The second thing I believe a great Christian has is fervent consecration. There is faithful consistency and there is fervent consecration. The word consecration, it means a solemn commitment of your life or of your time to some cherished purpose. Consecration. See, you don't consecrate yourself to something that you have no heartstring toward. You don't consecrate yourself toward something that is a good cause, but your heart's not in it. There's no consecration there. You may serve out of obligation. You may be faithful and consistent out of obligation. But if there is no fervent consecration, if there is no heart string that is tied to that which you're giving your time, to that which you're giving your labor, to that which you're giving your life, if there is no heartfelt commitment, you have no consecration. Are you consecrated to the service of the Lord? Or are you just putting in your time? We talked about it this morning. The one who wants to get $15 an hour but is not willing to put in the time that they might see their life rise up a little above the co-workers perhaps. How about you? Are you willing to put in that commitment? Have that heart that heart fervency, that consecration to God. See, it's going to we're looking at building a great Christian. Not in my eyes. I don't want you to try to be a great Christian in my eyes. But I desperately want you to be a great Christian in God's eyes. I desperately want you to say, I want to be fervently consecrated to what God has called me to do. And I believe that God has called all of us to do something. Every last one of us to do something for Him. God didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. And I believe that there is some area that you can serve the Lord. Oh, let's see that fervent consecration. All humility of mind. Look at verse number 19 again. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Oh, we're fervent about our service to God. We take a job and we see it through. You watch that video. I've been a bus worker for 27 years. I've been a bus worker for 32 years. I've been a bus worker for 15 years. We're talking about taking a job, taking a responsibility. Tired? Absolutely. Worn out? Definitely. Thought about quitting? Yes. But fervent consecration. Fervent consecration. Saying, Lord, I promised you that I was going to take this and I was going to see it through. And so, Lord, until you move me, Lord, until something happens. Maybe as a pastor, I come to you and I say, listen, you've been filling this slot for a long time. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your service. But I believe that maybe the Lord would have you move over here and fill this slot. We've got someone to take that hole and fill that position. And this ministry could begin for the workings that you might be giving to the Lord. Would you be willing to do that? And you say, boy, praise the Lord. Absolutely. Absolutely, Pastor. I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. Oh, I thank God for it. You pray about those things. I pray about those things. We come together. We have a meeting and we decide that this would be of the Lord. And we move forward with it. So we have a faithful consistency. We have fervent consecration. The third thing I believe that goes into a great Christian is frequent compassion. As you see there in verse number 19 again, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. With many tears. In Jude 22 it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Those who are hurting. Those who are brokenhearted. Those who are widowed. Those widowers. Those who are sick. Those who are elderly, those who are childless, those who are lonely, those who are discouraged, those who are unemployed. And you fill in the blank about those who are brokenhearted in some way. And of having have compassion, making a difference. Again, I refer back to the video. One of the first ladies that spoke, and she talked about the fact that she and her husband were just at the very brink of divorce. Their marriage was nearly ended, and a little girl, if I'm not mistaken, was invited to church. And that little girl rode the bus. And because of that, mom and dad began riding the bus. And boy, praise the Lord, they got saved. They got plugged into church. And now they're giving testimony as to how a simple ministry of going out and picking up children will make a difference in a family's life. Boy, what a blessing. There was one that was given, if you remember, and they came and they knocked on the door and they said, could we have your children come to church? I believe it was the man who was released from prison. If you heard that, he was released from prison. He wasn't supposed to be. And they came to his door and they knocked on the door that very next day and they said, could we have your children come to church with us on the bus? And he said, under one condition, if I can go with them, my family and I. Well, praise the Lord. I can't wait for that day where a bus worker comes back and says, Pastor, I knocked on the door, asked if the child could come, and mom and dad said, only if you'll let us come. Amen. You bet we'll let them come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that. Oh, I love that. I want to see something here. We've got frequent compassion. Oh, there are those that will, our tears will go a long way to watering the plants. The tears of a bus worker. The tears of a pastor. The tears of a Sunday school teacher. The tears of an elderly man or elderly lady that loves and has such compassion that they're willing to cry for the individual who is hurting. In Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, dear church, do we even care about taking the precious seed to them? We're not even to the weeping stage yet until we can say, I have a desire to take the precious seed to them. Amen. Oh, believe me, they don't all listen. I understand that. But God blesses a church who is willing to do it His way. God blesses a church who is willing to do it His way. He has asked us, He has commanded us that we go out into the highways and hedges and we compel them to come in. And a ministry such as that we're looking and praying about beginning, and I don't have any doubt whatsoever that the Lord wants us to begin a ministry, that we would go out and take a bus and be willing to go out and pay for it and pick up children, pick up families, and watch as their lives change drastically over time. I don't care. How many have been in a part of a bus ministry before? Quickly, with your hands up. Oh, boy, all over the auditorium. Man, praise the Lord. And all of you could give testimony of individuals who began riding the bus. Maybe little girl, maybe little boy. They began riding the bus, and now the entire family, born again, serving the Lord. And praise God for that. So, we have frequent compassion. Number four, we also see firm convictions. In verse number 20, it says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." 2020 vision I was taught years ago. Acts 20, verse 20. 2020 vision is taking the Word of God from house to house. Soul winning gives the church 2020 vision. Amen. Boy, but we have firm convictions. It says, "I kept back nothing." Go over to verse number 27. Verse number 27 says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Oh, I thank the Lord. Listen, go to verse number 31. Thinking about frequent compassion and the tears. It says in verse 31, "Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." So we see the compassion again. We see the firm convictions. You see, your convictions, they're profitable. They're profitable for you, but they're profitable for others as well. As we see verse number 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves." Now He talks directly to these pastors and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Oh, there's a message in there. Boy, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. How He purchased the church and how He loves the church. Oh, let's do our part. So we've seen, first of all, faithful consistency, fervent consecration, frequent compassion, firm convictions. Number five, a followed commission. In verse number 20 again, where it says, "I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house." There's a followed commission. Matthew 20, verses 19 and 20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Go therefore. Go therefore. How are we going to go? We go out every Saturday and we give invitations. And when it comes, when we have opportunity, we'll go out on a Thursday. And we'll go other times and we'll knock on doors and we'll invite people and we'll give the gospel and we'll go house to house. But now I believe we've got another avenue. I believe we have another way that God can say, "I'll take this bus ministry and I'll use it to my glory." We don't need to get the glory out of it, but I thank God that He will. He gets the glory from it. Why? Because we have a followed commission. A great Christian is going to follow the Great Commission. A great Christian. We're looking to be a great Christian. There is no humility in saying, "I have no desire to be great before the Lord." There is humility in saying, "I have no desire to be great before man." And I'm not trying to be great before the Lord, greater than you. When I say I want to be great before the Lord, I want the Lord to see that a life that had a desire to serve Him, to please Him, to work for Him, to give for Him, to suffer for Him, to sacrifice for Him, whatever it is that He expects of me, I want to follow through. That's a great Christian. A great husband isn't looking to be great in his own eyes. He's looking to be great in his wife's eyes. So he does what he needs to be great in his wife's eyes.
had a great wife. Is it looking to be great, to be called the greatest wife in all of the church? No, she just wants to be great in her husband's eyes. And so I look to the Lord, and whether I'm called great on this earth or not doesn't ever matter to me. But if I'm called great to the Lord because of my service to Him, I will thank Him for eternity that He allowed me to serve Him and to be great in His eyes. So we have a followed commission. The last thing we're going to see in verse number 24, go over to verse number 24, where it says in verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." What is the last? We see a finished course. What is a great Christian? Well, a great Christian is going to have faithful consistency, fervent consecration, frequent compassion, firm convictions, followed commission, and a finished course. There are enough children of God who have begun a great work only to quit. There are enough of those. And I thank the Lord for everyone that quit and came back. Amen. I thank God for every prodigal son that has ever come back to the house of God. Man, praise the Lord for that. Thank God for that. Oh, but listen. I want to finish my course. I want to finish my course with joy. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Oh, will you finish your course, dear Christian? Will you finish your course? At what point? I talk about for all those years with the youth group, I would draw an imaginary hallway down through the Sunday school class, and I would say on every side there are doors that at any point in your Christian life you can open up and walk out. None of them are locked. When are you going to walk out? What door are you leaving purposefully? Just a little bit ajar so that you know that somewhere down the road you can walk out and not finish your course. Oh, can we see some finished courses? Can we see some elderly men and women who are still finishing their course, strong to the very end? Do we grow weak? Absolutely. Will we get to the point where we cannot do as much as we once did? Certainly. But we can finish our course, and we can finish it with joy. Oh, let's see a finished course for God. You will not want to stand before the Lord one day and said, "Well, for 30 years I was strong, but then I just decided I had done it enough. Someone else can do it in my place." Oh, let's not do that. Let's not look to the Lord and recount how many years we've served in the past. Let's look to the Lord and say, "Lord, how many years will You allow me to serve in the future? How many more years? Lord, will You give me 10 more years? Lord, will You give me 20 more years? Lord, will You give me 5 more years to serve You? How can I do it?" Oh, we've got to wait. In a few moments, we'll meet back here in the junior church. I want to recount some things here. I want to outline just a few simple things for you of areas in the bus ministry that I believe everyone can be involved. I mean everyone. Absolutely everyone. There's no one here this evening that could not be involved in the bus ministry in some way. I want to talk to you about that. That's just one area of ministry. We have other areas that I want to see us begin. We have other areas that I believe that we can grow into. But it's going to take all of these, having men and women and young people who say, "I want to be a great Christian for God." Not so the pastor can say, "Oh, great man over here, great woman over here." But so that God can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this evening You would help, Lord. I pray that, dear God, my life, Lord, that You would look and that You would see, Lord, a great Christian. Not so that I could be lifted up above anyone else, Lord, but rather so that I could give You glory. Lord, I want to be called that individual. I want to be that one that would be named to be great for You, Lord, for Your glory, for Your honor. Lord, I want Coastal Light Baptist Church to be such a church. Lord, not so that we could have our name published in some publication, so that we could be touted around throughout the country of what a great church this is. And Lord, there are many that are great churches, and we talk about them, Lord. But dear God, I pray that You would help us to have a heart that we want to simply serve You, Lord, in this area. Lord, that we would just put our heads down, that we would put our plow into the ground, Lord, and that we had put our shoulder to that plow, and we just would continue to press on till you call us home, Lord. Help us to be a great church. Lord, help us to see a great ministry started. Oh, dear Lord, please, I pray that you would help everything, all of the workings of this ministry, Lord, that would be laid in place. And dear Lord, as we encounter difficulties and as we make mistakes, Lord, I pray that you help us to correct them. Dear God, to move forward beyond that. And Lord, that you would just give us your blessing. Please, Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight to have a desire to be a strong church, to have strong ministries, and Lord, that we individually would be considered a great Christian for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name.